the heart of the gospel right there in that song, right? That's the heart of the gospel. God sent forth his son. There's the gospel right there. So that we could have life in him and not perish. This morning's sermon is called, Could This Be the Christ? Absolutely it is. From John chapter 7, verse 25 through 36, as we continue our journey through the Gospel of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. This passage was during the Feast of Tabernacles, as we went through it last week, last Sunday, which was held in October. It was during the fall season. 6 months from this feast was the Passover, so the following April would be Passover when Jesus went to the cross for the sins of the world. So from this chapter, chapter 7, all the way until chapter 19, there's approximately 6 months left of Jesus' earthly ministry before he would go to the cross, which we see in chapter 19 when we get there. We left off last Sunday with Jesus preaching and teaching in the temple. He's still doing this in this passage this morning. This is a longer passage. He's in the temple. He's preaching and teaching in front of a very large crowd, in front of many religious leaders as well. Again, you may be wondering, what was Jesus teaching in the temple? He was teaching about the same things that he always taught. He was preaching and teaching about the kingdom of God, about eternal things, about spiritual things, preaching about repentance, sin, death, the judgment to come, heaven and hell. He preached about the hypocrisy of the Jewish religious leaders, about their superficial, shallow faith, and that they didn't even know God, and that there was a great need to become born again. They would need to repent and turn to him as the one and only Savior of the world. Jesus told them last Sunday in our passage that this, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. In other words, this is my Father's doctrine is what he was telling this very large group of people. He said, this is his word. The word that I speak, I hear from him, I speak to you. This is my Father's word. So let's go ahead and continue in this morning's passage. We'll pick up. Jesus is still in the temple preaching. We're going to go through the Word of God. John 7, verse 25 and 36, through the New King James Version. That's the version that I use, as you know. So let's take a look at verses 25 and 27. The Apostle John wrote, now some of them from Jerusalem said, is this not he whom they seek to kill? But look, he speaks boldly, and they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? However, we know where this man is from. But when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. So the crowd, this would be the locals in Jerusalem, they're confused. They're in the crowd. They're listening to Jesus preach in the temple, and they're confused. They say, is this not Jesus who they seem to kill? Last Sunday, at the end of the passage, Jesus said to the religious leaders, he said, did not Moses give you the law, yet none of you keeps the law? Why do you seek to kill me? They said, you have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? Well, it seems like the crowd in Jerusalem knew they wanted to kill him, right? Mainly because he claimed to be the Son of God and because he was healing people on the Sabbath. They wanted to kill Jesus. Back in chapter 5, we went over that, verse 16 through 18, we read, for this reason the Jews, the religious leaders, persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him. That was back in chapter 5. Because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews sought to all the more kill Jesus, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his father, making him equal to God. And we read at the beginning of chapter 7 and verse 1, we read that after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he did not want to walk in Judea, Jerusalem, because the Jews sought to kill him. We read that at the beginning. So this was no secret, right? The people knew that the religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus. So the crowd was confused in this passage because the religious leaders are letting Jesus preach and teach in the temple. So they're like, well, wait a minute. This is the man they want to kill. They're letting him preach and teach in the temple. Oh, but then if you look at verse 26, they said, but look, right? He speaks boldly. And they say nothing to him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is truly the Christ? They're like, maybe the rulers believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, seeing they're not stopping him in the temple. But look at verse 27 on the wall, the same passage here. The people said, however, these are the locals in Jerusalem, however, we know where this man is from, but when the Christ comes, no one knows where he is from. They were, the locals were like, well, wait a minute, we know where this man is from. He's from Nazareth. We know his parents, Mary and Joseph. This can't be the Christ. Maybe he changed the mind of the rulers, but he hasn't changed our minds. We know exactly where he's from. So Jesus hears these people murmuring in the crowd. And look what he responds with in verses 28 and 29. Let's look at verse 28 and 29. Jesus hears all this murmuring going around in the temple, and this is his response. Verse 28. Then Jesus cried out, which means he yelled, as he taught in the temple, saying, you both know me, and you know where I am from, and I have not come of myself, but he who sent me is true, whom you do not know. But I know him, for I am from him, and he sent me. You know, only four times in the New Testament does it say that Jesus cried out, that he yelled, he shouted. Only four times. This is one of them as he was in the temple. Typically, he just spoke normal, but this is only four times where we see in the scriptures where he cried out, where he yelled to the crowd, right? Everyone probably froze because of Jesus' supernatural power. You'll probably hear a pin drop. Can you imagine Jesus yelling? In the temple, you remember we were in the temple before he flipped all the things over when they were selling merchandise inside the temple and everyone scattered? There's thousands of people there. That was during Passover. So I'm sure when he yelled, he got everyone's attention. Now, Jesus had been preaching and teaching for about 2.5 years now into his ministry, telling the people that he has come down from heaven, telling the people that the Father sent me and he wants to save you. He wants to save you. Jesus told them, the words that I speak are from my Father, and he wants to save you. He sent me to you so that you could have life. He continued to do this over and over and over in the scripture, right? Jesus continued to tell these people, turn to me, come to me, believe in me, trust in me, follow me, and you will find eternal life in me. Continues to say this all throughout the scriptures. Believe, 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 and you will have eternal life. Back in chapter 3, verse 18, Jesus said this. He said, he who believes in me is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the one and only begotten Son of God. Chapter 3, verse 36. Jesus said, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe in the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. Chapter 5, verse 24, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Chapter 6, verse 35, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Chapter 6, verse 47, Jesus said again, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. Over and over, Jesus preached and taught how one finds life in him. Over and over and over in the scriptures we see, turn to me, come to me, believe in me, trust in me, follow me, and you will find eternal life in me. Over and over. So let's look at verse 30 and 31. John wrote, therefore, you know what that means when you see that scriptures, right? John writes this what? Therefore. You know, the application's coming now that you know this. So whenever you see that in the scriptures, therefore, John does it a lot in his books, means therefore, now that you know this, he says, they sought to take him, Jesus, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. You know what hour that is, right? It's going to the cross. Verse 31, look at this. And many of the people believed in him, hallelujah, and said, when the Christ comes, will he do more signs than this man has done? Many did believe in Jesus. So we got some smart people in the crowd here, right? They turned to him and they believed. They believed in Jesus. They saw the signs. They heard his word, and they believed. They were like, this must be the Christ. This has to be the Christ. No one can talk like this man and do miracles which we have seen. So they believed, right? The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. They were like, this has to be the Christ. This must be the Son of the living God. So we know by scripture, some of them in the crowd did turn to Christ and become saved. They believed. Notice in verse 30, it says, they sought to take Jesus, but no one laid a hand on him because his hour had not yet come. They could not take him. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. They were restrained by the invisible hand of God. They were under divine control. God is the power over everyone and everything. Everything. They were powerless because his hour had not yet come. Jesus was on a divine schedule. And that wasn't the day for him to go to the cross. So they were restrained by the invisible hand of God the Father. God is in control of everything. So after many believe, look what we see in verse 32 through 34. Let's take a look at those verses. The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning Jesus. And the Pharisees and the chief priests, who are the Sadducees, the name fits them well, huh? Sad, you see? Sent officers to take Jesus. So they're going to try to take him again, right? See how that works out. Verse 33. Then Jesus said to them, I shall be with you a little while longer, and then I will go to him who sent me. You will seek me and not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. So the Pharisees and the chief priests hear the people in the crowd murmuring. Awesome. They're starting to believe. Oh, he must be the Christ. Jesus must be the Christ. And they didn't like it. These religious leaders, these Pharisees, these Sadducees, they did not like it. So they send the temple officers to arrest Jesus. Go get him. Take him off. Get him off the pulpit. But again, this wasn't going to be successful. Why? Because his hour had not yet come. I want you to look at verse 34. This is a very, very strong warning to those in the crowd, to the religious leaders, and to the world, right here. Jesus said, "You will seek me, and you will not find me. And where I am going, you cannot come." Jesus said, "I will not be with you much longer. I will be gone sadly. I will be gone soon." And sadly, Jesus said, "Where I am going, back to heaven, you cannot come." Wow. This is a very powerful statement from our Lord Jesus Christ to the world. To the world. Jesus is saying to us here in verse 34, there will come a time when many will seek me and I will not be found. This is a reference to those in hell. To all those who didn't believe in Jesus Christ, to all those who rejected him, to those who refused to believe, never took God seriously, never took his word seriously, never came to Christ, there will come a time when they will desperately seek after Jesus Christ, and he says, "You will not find me." Tragic. Tragic. Heaven isn't for everybody. Heaven isn't for good people. Heaven isn't for religious people. Heaven isn't for churchgoers. Heaven isn't for the rich or the poor. Heaven is for the redeemed. Those in Christ Jesus. Heaven is for those who have truly come to Christ, placed their faith and trust in him for their salvation. Heaven is for those who believe in the true Christ and the true gospel. That's who heaven's for. Verse 34 is one of those very tragic texts in the scripture to all those outside of Christ. Because Jesus is saying that all unforgiven sinners will seek him after this life and not be able to find him. They will be shut out of heaven, cut from God's grace. Sadly, we know a lot of people like this. We have family members like this, loved ones who don't know Jesus. We need to continue to pray for them without ceasing, that they will come to Christ. Because Jesus said, everyone is going to stand before me in judgment one day, and I will either be their savior or their judge according to their relationship with me. This is God's word. I'm just a messenger, delivering his message to the world. You know, listen, Jesus isn't saying this. I want you to know this. Jesus isn't saying this to scare us, okay? He's saying this to warn us that there's going to come a time after this life that those who are outside of Christ are going to seek him and not find him. He wants us to know that. The Bible is full of warnings like this about the dangers of not submitting to God. God is patient. Good thing, huh? Look at us. Right? Look at the patience God has had with us. Right? Amen? when we were running, here's God, and we were running this way. Has anybody done that before they came to Christ? God is good. God is patient. But there will come a day when those who rejected Jesus Christ refuse to come to him and ask for forgiveness, refuse to surrender to him. Jesus said they will seek me and not be able to find me. This is the bad news. And it certainly is bad news. But here's the good news. All those in Christ Jesus have nothing to worry about. Have nothing to worry about whatsoever. You are going to pass, as the scripture says, from death to life, as God has told us in the scriptures, all those who trusted in his Son. Right, Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 26, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. For all those who are in Christ Jesus, after this life, you are going to spend eternity with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just like the Word of God says, right? Jesus said in John 14, 1 through 3, right? He said, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go prepare a place for you. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also for eternity, all those in Christ Jesus. You know what the Bible says? No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of the man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Let me break that down for you. When we get to heaven, we're going to be blown away. God is saying, when you come into the presence of me, you're going to be blown away. And all those, all of our saved loved ones who have already gone on before us, they are still blown away. They are still in awe of what they see. And not one of them, if God said, do you want to return to the earth and come back, would say, yes. They say, no, I ain't leaving this place. I'll wait for my loved ones to come here. Amen? The Bible's clear. Those in Christ, Jesus, who have trusted in him, placed their faith and trust in him, believed in him, believed in his word, his works on the cross, believe in his resurrection, believe in everything he says, believe in the gospel, and have placed their faith and trust in him and him alone for their salvation, are going to be blown away spending eternity with him. That's God's word. That's God's promise to every believer in Christ who have surrendered their life to him. You died for me, I live for you. Powerful. Blown away by the promises I see in the scriptures. Each and every day I study the scriptures. I'm blown away. I'm very scared for those outside of Christ. I'm very worried for them. And I'm blown away on how things are going to be for those who are in Christ. But we've got to pray for our family members who are not in Christ, who are not taking God serious. They don't take his word serious. They want to be their own God. We've got to pray for them. Let's take a look at our final two verses. John wrote, then the Jews among themselves, And the Jews said among themselves, where does he intend to go that we shall not find him? Does he intend to go to dispersion among the Greeks and teach the Greeks, the Gentiles? What is this thing, he said, you will seek me and not find me, and where you are cannot come. They mocked Jesus. They mocked Jesus. They were unwilling to hear what he had to say. They were unwilling to submit to him and confess that Jesus is Lord. The Bible clearly states, and I know you know this, we are only going to get to heaven because of Jesus Christ. There's no other road. There's one road. That's why Jesus said, I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we only get so much time to come to Christ. Only have so much time to come to Christ. God has given us the truth, his word, but we got to respond. Amen? We've got to respond. He's laid it all out right here for us. How one finds life. But we got to respond. If God has your attention this morning through his word, and you're not saved, you need to get saved today. You need to come to Christ today. It's time to get right with God today. Today is the day of salvation. You need to get right with God because we don't know what tomorrow brings. So if God is in your heart this morning through his word, you need to get right with God today if you're not saved. It's time. It's time to come to Christ. All in. No more 1 foot in, 1 foot out. 1 foot in the world, 1 foot in with God. No, he's too holy and righteous to allow that. All in. Prophet Isaiah said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Isaiah 55:6. Don't wait. If you haven't surrendered your life to Christ, today is the day. Go get alone with God. Seek him with all your heart. Confess, I'm a sinner. And I've sinned against you, Father. And I believe you sent your son, Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners just like me. And I'm asking you to forgive me for all of my sins. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he died for me. I believe he went to the cross. He rose 3 days later from the dead. And I'm putting all my faith and trust in your son for my salvation. Please forgive me and follow after him. Go get along with God. Pour out your heart. Surrender your life to Christ if you haven't. Listen, God by nature is a savior. You know what that means? He wants to save you. But you got to come. Amen? All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this morning. Oh, Lord, when we come across texts like this, like verse 34, we see that it'll come a day and a time that everyone who has ever lived, if they are outside of Christ, they will seek you and not find you. Tragic, Lord. I hope your word has broken through to anyone here this morning that has not surrendered their life to you, that would be all in, that it would be on their heart to go get alone with you, alone, you and them, Lord, and that they would cry out for mercy and forgiveness and come to Christ, because we don't know what tomorrow holds. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise. Oh, we thank you for your son. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.